Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Oh, my goodness. There is just so much to talk about. And so, you know, when I got all of this and just can't contain it, and an hour definitely is not going to contain it, if you know who I'm about to talk with this morning, Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Networks, my boss, one of them. Anyway, she's joining us today. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Gretchen. I probably talk the most on your show. I don't know if I talk as much on my own show, but you allow me to rattle on and expound, so I appreciate every time I get to do this.
Gosh, I appreciate you because, yeah, you let me – I invite you onto the show, and then you let me rant. It's like my husband says, you know, that show is just – that's all it is therapy. That's all. You just do it. It's therapy every day. I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
A shout out for therapy. You know, it can be.
This is true. This is true. Whatever way you can get it. And this doesn't cost as much. not at
exactly.
all. You know.
Exactly.
But, I think the good thing, especially when you and I are on, is that we say exactly what's on our mind, and I think it allows for us to say stuff that maybe other people want to say and can't say it or are a little shy about saying. We aren't shy servants of God. We just got to put it out there.
Not at all.
And you do with it whatever you do with it. So we're going to start, I think, on the lighter stuff and then get into the heavier stuff because we got a lot to say on some of that other stuff. So I'm going to go into your domain, your arena. There's a lot. There's, goodness gracious, what, March Madness, Major League Baseball, and that's just this month. And then the draft, NFL draft, is next month. And you have how many shows of your own that you talk about this stuff?
Oh, wow.
And then you got other people talking about it on your network, you know. And so I give you an hour, maybe not even a piece of an hour every now and then, to kind of catch everybody up. But
yeah,
so
we have we have three shows on Monday. I'm on two of them. We have three on Tuesday. I'm on two of those, and then the network is full with themselves with a lot of others on Wednesday with Sports Talk with K-Walk, and then I come back Thursday for two shows. Friday, we just launched a new show with Thomas Epps. And then Saturday, I really try to take a break, and then we're back at it Sunday. We have two shows. So, but, yeah, I'm usually Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, try to fill in wherever else I'm needed. And that's just on the sports side. I haven't even talked about the entertainment side with you or the media side. Yeah, the media side. So, but that's it as far as those are concerned. It's March Madness, Gretchen, and we say that, but it's really conference tournament right now for the women's basketball section.
That's right.
And then conference tournament for the men next week. And then next Sunday is Selection Sunday, where They decide what men are going where in what regions. And then the same thing on Monday, selection Monday, or I think maybe now they do both on Sunday. So we'll know next weekend, next Sunday, where the men line up in their 68 brackets, team bracket, and the same thing for the women, 68 teams. They have 64 in the bracket, and the other four teams are play-in teams, and they get together in a tournament and play in to get to that point. So, but it's I really wanted to say about March Madness more than anything, and about this year, that women's basketball has really taken a step forward and into the limelight. Mm-hmm. You know, ESPN Game Day has made it a habit of doing, you know, the whole game experience like they do the men for years. Now they're doing it for women, and they did that two or three times this year. So, and the fact that Caitlin Clark from Iowa broke the women's basketball scoring record, Kelsey Plum, and then about a week or two later, she broke the NCAA record. Pistol Pete Maravich held that, so she broke the men's. So now she's a leading scorer in the NCAA. So that became a big deal, and Nike has gotten behind her for sure. So, but we're here in March Madness. I didn't apply for credentials to the SEC tournament, which is right down the road in Greenville. But I'm sure that as far as March Madness is concerned, the first and second rounds for this region will probably be here in Columbia. And I'll go down there to Columbia Life Arena to see the Gamecocks and whoever they may face down there. So great things for the networking for the sports side is always, you know, busy with sports. And I can stop there, but if you mention baseball, let me know when you talk about that.
Well, all I got to say is for that selection day, it's St. Patrick's Day. I don't know how that process works in terms of selections. I hope people haven't imbibed a little bit too much before making their selections, but they're clear-headed.
So that 15th is on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow.
it's a little crazy.
And I hope that helps. No, actually, the 15th is on a Friday, Gretchen.
I thought it was the 17th.
It's on that, St. Patrick's, 17th. You're right. But with that being on that Sunday, I'm sure Columbia, South Carolina has the second largest celebration of St. Patrick's Day. And they actually closed down parts of Five Points, which is really downtown South Carolina or Columbia. And they'll close off, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 blocks. And and within that 10 blocks radius, there's probably, you know, I don't know, 20, 25 bars and restaurants that are straight bars, and you get so many tickets, and that's all you do all day. They close it down from that morning, and as a matter of fact, anything else in there closes down. The Food Lion, the Starbucks, the Office Depot, all of that within that area closes down because it becomes a St. Patrick's Day celebration. And so no cars in, you have to walk in. You know, and then of course walk out, and that, I guess that makes it good. You get to park on the perimeter, but that is a big drinking day in Columbia, South Carolina, and I only know about it because I've been on the other part where I'm trying to get to Office Depot, whatever. But I know about it too because it has become that big of a deal here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Wow.
So I was getting ready to say I'm glad that it doesn't fall on a Sunday, but now that it does, I'm sure that Friday and Saturday will be their options. Unfortunately, it becomes one of the bigger days to drink. I'm praying for everybody now, for sure.
Yes.
Who really thinks that's a big deal? And I know it's the youngsters, but we should find something else to do with our time. I think so.
So getting back to the actual news of March Madness, is there any particular player in your mind or any particular team in your mind that stands out this year?
Well, okay, so on the women's side, yes. The South Carolina Gamecocks here in Columbia are the only undefeated team in the nation, women or men, this year. They're 29-0. And so they will be a number one seed. Along with them, I got to give UCLA some credit. They have a 6'7" young lady who's really doing well. Virginia Tech, I think, will be there in the middle of the Sweet 16, maybe Elite Eight. Ohio State with Cody McMahon, I think they will be standing there, you know, when we get down to 16 teams or 8 teams. Iowa with Caitlin Clark, who, again, broke the record for scoring in men and women this year. I think they may be there. And then you have UConn, who was undefeated in the Big East. They were 18-0, and they've revived themselves and come back to what they know. I think they only had 3 or 4 losses this year. So those are some of the teams on the women's side. I think it would be I think the expectations is that South Carolina may take it all. The expectations were there last year. I think they're back there this year with a new whole complete starting lineup. They lost 7 young ladies last year, and they've started over and back in the same place, and that is the winning place. So I think the expectations that South Carolina will be left standing, but there are some others, and I didn't even mention LSU, who I think has one of the key players in the country, and that's Angel Reese, who was named SEC Player of the Year. So that's the women's side. The men's side, UConn, who I think still won it all last year. There's some eyes on North Carolina. There's some eyes on Kansas as normal, Villanova. And then there's Houston, African-American guy there, Kelvin Sampson, who has them. They just won their conference. So, you know, it's going to be a great tournament. So those are some of the names on both sides that you expect to make it to the Sweet 16 and maybe further on to the Final Four.
Okay. If you had to say there might be an upset kid in the mix, who would that be team-wise?
An upset kid or team? I personally like Cody McMahon at Ohio State, and I love her game, and I can't say her name enough. I think Iowa State, this is Caitlin Clark's last year. She's announced that she wants to head into the WNBA draft. I don't know if they have enough to get back to where they were. But I'm going to stick with the local team here, and that's South Carolina and the Gamecocks. The key factors, I'm not betting against Dawn Staley. I'm not betting against Tahina Pau-Pau, which is a young lady that transferred from Oregon, who's leading the nation in three-point percentage. You know, so there's some key factors, but it all depends on where you are in your bracket and who you got to go through to get to the end. So, and that's what we'll see here on Selection Sunday. But those are some of the names.
Those brackets
for sure
were broken pretty early last year, weren't they?
When you say busted brackets, yeah, you know what? And I participate in filling out a bracket too. And I really love when President Obama made that a big thing. He was such a huge basketball fan. But yeah, brackets are busted pretty early, always, because there's always someone out there that's seated at the 15th spot or the 14th spot that's going to beat a 3 or beat a 2. A number 2 seed. There's always that out there, and no one picks it. You don't see it coming until it's there. I think parity is really there in women's basketball and men's basketball, and it always has been. You know, you can find 5-on-5 and beat a team even, you know, on any given day. So, yeah, you know, brackets will be busted. I don't know why we do those things except for it's just the excitement of it. It's so disappointing, though.
You know, that everybody's still trying to keep hope alive. I guess it adds some sort of heightened interest and tension, you know, makes it more exciting.
Well, ESPN, I think, offers $1 million to the winner or $500,000 now. It's gotten to be a big deal, too, with money on some of them. Yeah, so
maybe I need to look into that.
Financial incentive, for sure.
So we are going to segue into the next thing that happens later this month, and that is Major League Baseball. And it's beginning its season, not in the United States, it seems. It's in Korea.
You know what? I don't know much about foreign baseball. And if Korea, you got me there. If they started a team, that is beyond my preview for sure. I know that opening day for Major League Baseball here is early April. They're all now in spring training, and all eyes are on the LA Dodgers, you know, and all of their major acquisitions over the summer. So, but yeah, when Korean baseball, you got me there. Go ahead.
I was looking at the MLB.com site, and we're saying the Dodgers and Padres, I guess, face off in the Seoul Series March 20th and 21st in Korea.
Yeah.
And then on the 28th, all 30 clubs are supposed to play on opening day. So.
I've forgotten about the teams that are going there, and they're going to do that some this year. I think there's a couple of times where they're going to go to Mexico and play. So, yeah, there's some of that. So, okay.
And the Dominican Republic in London, I think I saw, too.
Yep, so there's going
to be
one.
That's going to be interesting. I guess they're going to follow – well, I don't know who's following who. I was going to say I guess they're going to follow the NFL in taking the games to Europe and other places. Yeah.
How smart of you, Gretchen. I said that's part of the business model of the NFL, and they've done it now for about 5 or 6 years that I can remember. And this past year they entered the Germany and played a game there. And they've been known to be in London, and they played one in Mexico. So the business model of the NFL is to expand to different countries, and they want to do the same thing. And I think that the Major League Baseball has decided, hey, it's time for us to do that, because a lot of the players in the major leagues are from different countries. As a matter of fact, I think the percentage continues to grow. It's more like 30 or 40% now of Major League Baseball are from the Dominican Republic, Cuba, and different places like that.
And I was surprised, because like I said, didn't know who was following who, but I'm surprised that baseball didn't do it first, because of having, you know, almost an international group of players from a variety of places that come to play baseball.
Well, if truth be told, in my heart, I don't know if I liked it in the beginning to see so many foreign players. Remember that the key branding that was in our hearts, maybe 20 years ago, maybe longer, was in baseball is as American as apple pie. And it was the American sport. Well, that's no longer. NFL is the most popular American sport. So I think I think Major League fought it. I think fans like myself, who've been fans for quite some time since a toddler of baseball, fought the whole foreign influx. But it's a wonderful thing, and I'm happy that it's here. So now I think that Major League Baseball, with a different commissioner, has embraced this too, and said, "Hey, this is a good opportunity." And you know, baseball used to be in the Olympics. It's no longer, if I'm not mistaken. You know, but they still play a lot of different international tournaments and stuff, and square off with Japan and Korea and all of that. So it's nice to see. So I've adjusted my sails on that. But in the beginning, I didn't like it because I thought they were taking away from spots here in America from African Americans and everybody else. But that's not true. If you can play baseball, you can play baseball.
You play baseball, because and I'm thinking like you in a way. I remember, for example, there was this commercial. Car commercial, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet.
That's right.
That was.
That's right.
You
and I both are dating ourselves. But that was exactly.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves. I don't care. I don't care. I think it says that I've lived a full life. So anyway, but I remember that commercial. Yeah, and they used to talk about, you know, baseball is American as apple pie, but I mean, you got to think about everything has some sort of global infiltration, if you want to talk about that. I mean, even Chevrolet, you know, do you think all of the parts are made in America anymore? No,
oh, no.
Probably not.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we keep talking about being a global society,
mm-hmm.
and that is kind of what happens. I think there just needs to be a balance. That's just
yeah.
me. I think there needs to be a balance. And we can get, that's a whole nother conversation we can get into. But anyway, I just wanted to, mm-hmm. to touch on the fact that we are sliding from basketball into baseball. And then next month is the NFL draft, you know, and speaking of talking about the NFL, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. So
mm-hmm.
my understanding is that Russell Wilson is out from the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened there? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think they wooed him away from Seattle for $269 million, guaranteed money, $269 guaranteed. And then I thought the team was in disarray with Nathaniel Hackett as their head coach last year, and I thought he suffered within that system. Nathaniel Hackett was then fired, and they bring in Sean Payton, who was the head coach for the New Orleans Saints at one time, had taken a year off and won a Super Bowl with the Saints and with Drew Brees at the helm. And you could tell that there was some aggression and some dislike from the beginning with Russell Wilson. So in the middle of the season, they asked Russell Wilson to take a pay cut or they were going to bench him. And this was after he really had a stellar year. And if you look at his stats, they rival a whole lot of other quarterbacks who were in the NFL. So there was some disdain or some dislike, and maybe they were trying to coerce him into giving up some of that salary that they had already guaranteed him. And Russell Wilson steadfast and said, no, I'm going to continue to play as long as you let me play. And they didn't do anything with him until the last two games when they decided to bench him. And not to have him on the travel team. So Russell Wilson went home, and he knew if he stayed quiet and didn't say anything and didn't, you know, he was going to be guaranteed money whether they kept him or not. So they have released him, but Russell Wilson is due $289 million in the next year, and they have to pay him that money because it was already guaranteed. So he's good. Eventually, though, he'll be picked up by another team. I think he's an excellent quarterback in the NFL. More than anything, I get the feeling just from everything that I've seen, he's an excellent father, too, and husband, and doing very well and thriving in all those roles. And so for some reason, he fell out of favor in Denver, and that's the business of the NFL, but that's okay. They owe him that money. And if he never throws mm-hmm. another ball, he's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. Mm-hmm. He was able to negotiate one of those contracts. But I think he'll surface again, and there's several options that I think he has, or I'm just waiting to see what happens, and that is they're talking about him in Pittsburgh. They're talking about maybe in Atlanta. So we'll see.
Who do you think
they
needs
were even
the
talking
most?
About him in who needs
who
him the,
needs
most?
The most?
It really
yes.
depends on where they go in the draft. But, you know, Pittsburgh has an option in Kenny Pickett, which they drafted last year, and he just got hurt in the middle of there. But he has something to prove. But he was a rookie. But I would say Pittsburgh or Chicago, if they move away from Justin Fields, or Atlanta. Atlanta needs a quarterback. But it really just depends on how these chips fall in here and where they fall in as we get ready for the draft, who drafts who and who they decide to go with. But he'll find a home, and I think he'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But from a business and future perspective, he's set. He's set the rest of his life. You know, but we get into being competitive, and we want to play, and we want to play as long as we can. And I think
mm-hmm.
he still can, for sure.
I'm going to ask you about one or two other people, and then we're going to shift gears. But we're going to take a break before we shift those gears, because you've been talking a lot. But I do have to ask you about the person that my husband has probably convinced me is my favorite player right now. I don't know how that happened. But, I mean, I do. Mike Evans. Congratulations to Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Talk about that, please.
You know, congratulations
Tampa Bay
to
Buccaneers,
Mike Evans.
By the way, y'all. Mike Evans.
Congratulations to Mike Evans. He wanted to stay in Tampa. That was the first thing. He made that known, is that he didn't want to play for another team. He wanted to be a Buccaneer. And so they got it done for $50 million, $36 million guaranteed up front. And now he's a Buccaneer. I'm just wondering, though, what they said to him about who's going to be his quarterback. You know, because Baker Mayfield is out shopping himself, and Baker Mayfield is asking for $66 million in order to be a quarterback. And I heard yesterday on one of our shows on last night with Kevin and Eric that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the middle of working that out with Baker Mayfield. They want him to return. So there had to be some conversation about that with Mike Evans, for him to say, okay, I agree to this. I thought $50 million was kind of low. I thought he'd come in around $75 million. I think that much of his play. If there wasn't a Mike Evans, I don't think that Tom Brady would have won a Super Bowl, and I don't think that Baker Mayfield would have looked as good as he looked. So I'm very high on him. And he should be your favorite player. He's my favorite player for the Buccaneers.
Maybe he's got some negotiating room in this contract for the additional monies that you were talking about. Maybe, you know, they win a Super Bowl. Maybe he becomes MVP, you know.
There could be some more incentives latent in that contract for him. He got a deal that he liked, and he took it.
Yeah. Well, yay for the Bucks. Yay for Mike, but yay for the Bucks, because they need all. I love the Bucks, but they have made some really interesting decisions in their history. You know, it's just who they are. But yeah, congratulations. I'm looking forward to him and carrying the Bucks and whoever else joins him next season. So yay.
So anyway, yeah, they've made some poor decisions, but you have to say they turned that around in the acquisition of Tom Brady, and how in that same year he took you all the way to the Super Bowl and just didn't go, but won it.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, definitely. All right, get some water. Princess, buckle up, because we're turning the corner. We got to talk about some other stuff. And you are welcome to join the conversation. We're not ignoring you. We just get on these subjects. And, you know, like I said, we just never have enough time. The number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we just got through talking a little sports with the mighty, mighty CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, Princess Cooper. And we are taking your calls. If you have something else you want to discuss, the number is 516-387-1944. But just warning you, you don't have a trouble getting in a word edgewise with us as we go forward. And, yeah, you know, I said we were putting the lighter stuff first, although there are some diehard sports people that probably would disagree with that being a lighter subject. But we are going to talk about some other things, including, the State of the Union, by the way, is tonight at 9 p.m. So, you know, just remember, so, you know, the State of the Union Junkies is at 9 p.m. And for those of you, the rest of you, you can catch up on binge watching some of your other stuff if you're not into it. Just maybe I shouldn't say that like that, but hey. So we have that. We have the setup for the candidates for the election, and it still should prove kind of interesting. I want to see what other stuff happens along the way. But also, it's Women's History Month. We wanted to make sure that you are aware of that. We want to thank, again, Erin Sullivan yesterday from coming from Orange County Library System to talk about the events that they're having. And I know there's other events going on throughout Central Florida and throughout the country. I don't know where to begin. I'm going to let you take it, Princess.
Well, I always think it's just a good idea to, and not just this month, but to go ahead, since this is the emphasis and this has been given, you know, our month, to really talk about women who've made an impact. Despite, you know, maybe some efforts to be held back, you know, achievements have been made, and they paved the way, you know, to more gender equity than we've seen in quite some time. More small businesses have been created and developed post-pandemic and pre-pandemic by women. Female owners are on the rise. Nonprofits are on the rise. And so I'm excited about that. And there's some history makers that are, you know, right in our own local areas. And it's mm-hmm. neat just to talk about some of that. And I say to everyone, I don't mind sharing any of the tidbits that I have, because I think God talks to all of us and gives us all a vision. And the vision he gives me is not what he gives others. But if I can share and help someone, I think that's what we should do.
Yeah, I think it is. And I, you know what? When you talk about Women's History Month, I think because people don't feel like women get enough credit, and they probably don't. But when we sit down and think about it, and you know, we know who the backbone is of the country. I think the thing is that, not just the country, the world, of civilization. Let's just mm-hmm. be clear about that. And I think the frustration, I guess, is that, you know, it's human nature that we want to see the acknowledgement, you know, front and center, you know, out there in the open. And, you know, we want the recognition to just be there, you know. And you know, fortunately, depends on how you look at it. The work is being done. It's just not being recognized. But, you know, mm-hmm. you got to get to a point, I think, in some cases where you just understand that God and sees and knows everything that's going on. I mean, if you look at women in the Bible, they operated a lot of times in stealth mode. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
As I've come to really understand a lot more and try to recognize what's going on, you know, a lot of what women do is just keep everything as a well-oiled machine. Okay. you know, they don't get all of the confetti like maybe they mm-hmm. should, but God knows what's going on. I think the reward, you just have to, you know, do the work, understand that God has a plan, understand that he knows what's going on, and get your reward from him whenever that happens. And that's hard. You know, because you want to raise your hand and say, hey, look what I did. See what I did. See, you know, how this happened. You know, and but this it does happen quite a bit. It's like, you know, you're the executive assistant sometimes, but the executive gets all the glory and praise for everything that goes on. And, I mean, and sometimes the executive doesn't even know that the assistant has tweaked a lot of the stuff that's going on in order to make the executive look good.
You know, I think there are leaders that are born, and it's in their blood from the beginning. And they're giving a project or they develop their own thing, and then they thrive on that. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, in the workforce, women are still paid less for the same position that a man holds. We still have not found equity as far as salary is concerned. But we're still out there, you know, making a difference. And on top of that, not only are we leaders in the community and at work and in our careers, we come home and we lead the house. And mm-hmm. we take care of everything that needs to be taken care of, from domestically to providing a meal on the table for our family and our husbands and our children, to making sure that everything is organized and everybody gets to practice in the school and all of that. And we still lead in the workforce. There is no bigger, better, stronger backbone in America and globally in the world than a woman.
Mm-hmm. I think there should be an international women go on strike day. Just one day, you know, don't cook, don't, you know, take your vacation day, don't go to work, just, because, I mean, you got to understand, like, we provide, I guess, what they call the creature comforts of the world, pretty much. So mm-hmm. when you're not there making sure that everything is running smooth, like I said, that well-oiled machine, and you decide you want to go off and have your own fun and have a good time, you know, and you leave people scratching their heads, okay? I mean, and I'm not saying men can't do a lot of stuff, especially there are men, if they've been brought up by the right woman, they do know how to do a lot of this stuff on their own and do it well. They know how to cook. They know how mm-hmm. to clean. They know how to do, you know, a bunch of stuff if they've, you know, been reared properly. But then you got some that when they get a woman, they want to forget that they know how to do this stuff. Okay. So I just think there just needs to be one day where the men kind of get a sense of what it would be like if women were not on the face of the earth.
Well, I always tell, you know, those that are listening, like my nephews and other people, you know, I don't see how we ever treat a woman poorly, considering that's how mm-hmm. we got here. I don't understand that, you know, your seed was planted in us and we developed you. And we carried you for 9 months. I don't see how you ever treat disrespect a woman. You couldn't have gotten here any other way. And that's what's so amazing to me, is that we eventually, you know, somehow we developed this disrespect, and we have sisters and daughters and, you know, and moms. And so, but I agree with you. Again, the backbone of the world. And somehow we have to come to grips with that and to treat us, you know, treat us as equals and treat us as leaders and moms and everything else. But and we're able to multitask and get it all done.
I think one of the main things that has to happen, though, is and I'm going to talk about this story that has just been bothering me. Well, not just me, but I think one of the things that has to happen is we have to have better respect for ourselves as women.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to have better respect and love and support each other. That doesn't mean we have to agree 100% with each other. but we have to be able to unify and help each other succeed and progress. And we have to set better examples for the ladies and that are coming up behind us. We have to do better. And one of the reasons I'm talking about this right now is there's a case going on right now with a 13-year-old who was killed, and they suspect the mother's boyfriend. And I know you're like, what does this have to do with women's history? But it does have to do with how we support each other in the community and how we lift each other up and how we, perpetuate positivity in terms of the women that are going to make history down the road. This little girl won't get a chance to do it. The thing that got me about it, and even my husband, we've been talking about it, is the fact that more information is coming out, and it looks like it is alleged, because I have to say that because, you know, there's no conviction yet, but it's alleged that the mother's boyfriend has been sexually abusing the girl for about 2 years prior to she got, she was killed. They found her body about a week ago, unfortunately. My thing is how when you have young girls and stuff like that, how do you not? I don't know what the circumstances are. Okay, let me just put that out there. I don't know all the circumstances. You know, I'm praying for the mom because she's in a horrible situation. You know, she's lost her child to somebody that she brought into their lives, and not sure about what that. But he got arrested on some other stuff because they found, I guess, some child pornography that he had. Okay. In order for us to continue to bring up, you know, our future history makers, we have got to do better by them. We've got to love and protect them, and we've got to, as much as we can, because there's a lot of threats out there. So as much as we can, we've got to be a little bit more diligent and disciplined about who we bring into their lives. I'm sorry, were you getting ready to say something?
I was just going to say, you know, that's definitely a whole another G's power hour there in making sure as moms and as women that we are setting an example in giving them something to look up to. But I think women fall into this trap, you know, when they become single moms, is that they got to have a man around. And we have to pick and choose and be very careful and discern, you know, in who we bring around our children. And most child molesters are within the family. They're within a 2-mile radius, or they are up under the same household, and they're usually the boyfriend or the uncle, and that is so sad, and that then turns into, okay, I'm gonna have to get rid of her before she starts talking, and you know, that is the threat in the beginning, is that you better not tell your mom, or I'm going to kill her. You better not tell your brother or your sisters, because I'm going to kill them. So, you know.
We've got to stop letting.
It starts with us and who we allow around our children and our young ladies. My mother didn't.
But it's got to start with us in terms of us valuing ourselves, because the children are watching. That's what you got to understand.
That is correct.
I have a cousin who she's about 13 years younger than me, but she's always talked about how I treated her, which I didn't know until she started talking about it, she talks about a weekend that I brought her to stay in my college dorm, okay, and things, you know, how that we can, things that impacted her that I just, you know, hey, this is my cousin, you know, I love her, we're going to have a good time, and, you know, I'm going to show her college is like, just in case she decides, you know, to go, whatever. It was never anything, I guess, to me. It was just, you know, I love my cousin, I want to, you know, I don't get a chance to see her that much, and we get a chance to have a good time together. It was never anything about, to me, in terms of how I treated her. I hope I wouldn't have treated her any less, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of people watch you. I'm working in an extended care program right now. The ladies, well, not just the ladies, all of them, they watch you. They pay very close attention, even if you don't say a word to them.
Mm-hmm.
They pay very close attention. So if you're not respecting yourself, if you allow yourself to be in certain situations, how can you expect them to behave or do differently if you allow yourself to be in a situation? So one of the first things you have to do is make a decision to not let other people, especially negative people, define who you are. I mean, especially if you're a Christian, you've got to understand that relationship first is between you and God, and you all make the decision what type of person you're going to be and everything else, and you don't let other people mold and decide for you, because they're just human beings too, just like you. They're no better.
Mm-hmm.
They're no worse. They're just other people. Some people haven't necessarily got to a certain point in their lives where they are, you know, have respected themselves, or that they have a certain sense of insecurity. And a lot of times when people are insecure about themselves, they will try to bring you down. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got to stay focused. You got to stay on a mission. That's the thing that is important in terms of, for example, we talk about women's history and history makers. When we talk about people like Harriet Tubman, we talk about Sojourner Truth. We talk about Mary McLeod Bethune. We talk about Madam C.J. Walker. We talk of what these people have in common is that there was a focus, there was a mission, there was a purpose, and they were not to be deterred because they realized that their mission, even you, Princess, your mission in terms of having this network is greater than yourself. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
This and that's the thing, is about not being distracted, not being deterred, not giving in to doubt about what your purpose is.
There you go. There you go. Not to waver off of that, but you made another good point about creating a safe haven for who we are and for us to be stronger than any other temptation. And if we are left to raise our kids by ourselves, then that's what we need to do. But we can't continue. We have to have strength and belief in ourselves, but we can't put our children and expose them to everything and everybody.
Yeah. The thing is, too, we got to take a minute and look beyond ourselves and look at the children that are out there. I mean, yes, it's Women's History Month, but, you know, we got to look at all the children. But, you know, look and see, okay, what is it about a particular child that needs to be encouraged and developed? What's lacking, and how can those gaps be filled to make them stronger, to make them better, to encourage them to do the things that we will need in the future from them. You know, how can we help them make history? I mean,
yeah.
We see it from the kids that decide they're going to start the lemonade stands or they're going to, you know, special projects. You hear about them every now and then. But you know you've got some people out there that are doing certain things. And then one thing you've got to do is encourage our kids to talk about it, because a lot of kids don't feel like they can talk about what their dreams are without being ridiculed. What you need to do is encourage them to talk about their dreams and then help them develop a game plan to make the dream a reality, or at least develop a game plan to explore the dream and see if it's really, you know, the future for them. Because I know for me, there's things that I wish I would have just gone ahead and explored and realized, yes, this is for me. No, this isn't for me. And I wouldn't waste time regretting or obsessing, and I put it aside and keep going. Because that's what we got to do.
That is correct. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of certain things, you know, that maybe we shouldn't do. And you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you only get this one life.
Yes.
You only get this one opportunity. Take advantage and explore. Step out of your comfort zone sometimes.
Now, you've made a lot of strides with, you know, being the CEO of the network and the work that you've done. You know, women in sports is more prominent now, is more popular now, but it wasn't necessarily years ago, many years ago, probably when you got involved in it. But you've had people that have been, you know, figures in your life. In terms, because we each, you know, we talk about women's history and we talk about it probably in a general and broad perspective in terms of how it made an impact on the community and the world. But we have people that, women that make history in our own lives. They don't have to necessarily be the prominent figures that everybody knows about. You've talked about your mom. Talk a little bit about the impact that she made on you and other women. Have made on you?
You know, and I, as you grow and get older, you start realizing the impact. But my mom was just one of those pillars in the community, and she was at the same elementary, middle school for 36 years. And, you know, when I came through sixth grade, which is where she was for science and math, and social studies, you know, I was hoping that I would not get her class. And the school board and the principal later told me that she specifically asked for you to be in her class and petitioned the school board to make sure you were in her class. And I think that started the impact. And every part of my fiber, I realized that she really cultivated, you know, to be proud and to speak with authority, but to also have grace and understand your role and what God has in store for you. And, you know, and that's who I am. I cook just like her, you know. I maintain a home, I think, just like her. But more than anything, she taught me not to just have limits to being a housewife, because, you know, that was that time. My mother was born in 1927, and she came through that, 1927, yeah, and went to Bethune-Cookman with Mary McLeod McClure. That was her hero, her idol, where she, you know, got her start with and learned some of her values too. So that's part of the impact. But also I think, too, is to start early, and she would say to me, kindergarten, first grade, the goal is college. The goal is not a high school degree. And the goal is college. The goal is a doctorate. The goal is bigger than where you are now. And I always remember that. So when I was in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, I understood that this was all a stepping stone to a bigger and higher education, and then to hand that torch off to others. And I'm so glad that someone exposed me to Spelman, because I was just thinking the University of Florida, but I ended up, you know, applying to Spelman, Georgetown, Stanford, and University of Florida. And luckily I got in all of them and I had choices, but I'm so glad that I chose Spelman. But there was no hesitation. I was going to college. It's, what are you going to do after college? You know, you're going to get your doctorate, da-da, whatever. And that really is the impact she had on me. is to be a young lady, you know, and to be an educated one too.
Yeah. See, you and I have so many similarities. My mom was born in 1923, you know, same thing. She didn't go to college per se. I mean, she took some classes later, but she was a valedictorian out of the class of eight, went to a little country school. She became a nurse. She became also, without, I guess you could say, any formal training, a travel agent at one point, which kind of started off when the Miami Dolphins used to have the games, the home games down there, and my mom helped plan bus trips to go down for people who wanted to go down and watch the games, or for people who wanted, you know, people used to go down to the outlet malls in Miami or into South Florida and shop. And she would help plan bus trips to go down there for people, you know. And that's kind of how it started. And then she started planning other things as well. And then she eventually had her own travel agency for a while, you know. And so she was a black woman. And at the time we lived in a predominantly white neighborhood in Brevard County. I think there may have been another black family that lived in that particular area. But yeah, she ended up planning trips for different people and did quite well. Started out working out of her home, and then eventually she had an office, you know, a couple blocks from the beach, you know, and it was something that, you know, it's one of those things where they say necessity is the mother of invention, you know.
That's right.
In making the lemonade out of the lemons, you know, that's what she did, because she was also trying to make sure that she was available for me. You know, I saw her when I got home. You know, if it wasn't at the house when I was little, it was at her office. You know, but yeah, you know, I wasn't, at least initially early on, I wasn't one of those what they call latchkey kids, turnkey kids, like that. She was there. And, you know, a lot of times she even ended up picking me up from school, you know, if I wasn't taking the bus. Man, she had conversations, which I think a lot of parents need to make sure you have those conversations. How was your day? What happened at school? And I was just one of those motor mouth kids. I'd tell her, she said she always knew what was happening in school, because I would just, she'd ask and I'd tell her everything. You know, and I really think our kids need to have that type of comfort level with their parents, so that, you know, there's no surprises, that everything, you know, everybody's on the same page. And, you know, getting back to the case that I was talking to you about earlier, it makes me wonder whether or not that in that case with the missing child, the girl that turned up dead, how much was this her? She was talking to her mom about what was going on, and how much the mom knew or did not know. I'm watching this carefully because I'm curious about it. But the whole situation makes me very sad. And the thing is, it's not the only case. That's the thing, you know. But
yeah,
we gotta keep talking. We've got. And the other thing I wanted to get to, and I guess we got a minute, but I want us to have a discussion at some point, maybe we get closer to election time or whatever, about breaking this next glass ceiling in the United States of America in terms of having a female head of state. Other countries have successfully had female heads of state. And why is it that we can't get there? As progressive as our country should be, or supposedly is, and I think we're finding out more and more that there's a lot of those pitfalls, you know, things that are being covered up, or we're looking at a lot of stuff with rose-colored glasses, but we aren't as necessarily as progressive as we think we are in some cases. So what's it going to take to break that ceiling to get us to where we have a female head of state? We got to have that conversation. We're going to bring some other people in. We're going to have a long conversation about that soon. So Sorry, Amen. I didn't get there today. Yeah. Princess, as always, not enough time, but thank you for what you've given me today.
It flies by, Gretchen. It flies
yes, it
by.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Or see you tomorrow.
You do the same. Yes, yes. The Diet Diva, Tara Collingwood, she's on with us tomorrow. So you have nutrition questions, you know, still trying to get back to keeping that New Year's resolution. Join us then. Thank you for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I'm your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. Hug a loved one, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.